He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests. The
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt Entz. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm trying to adjust my microphone to get you to hear me loud and clear here on this this wonderful Thursday, September 11th, 2025. Of course, a day that we will all have in our hearts every time we read that day. But we are here live on this show, ready to talk about everything going on in the world of sports here in the Central Valley. Good to be here. Good to be at Fashion Furniture. Of course, Fashion Furniture. Talking about the Amish days here, when two good friends get together to create the largest display of solid wood Amish furniture. Well, nobody has more and nobody can save you more than Fashion Furniture and Lou Rodman's. I know it may sound crazy, but now is the time to get ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I know, we're in September. We're talking Thanksgiving and Christmas, but with a complete dining room and bedroom sets, occasional tables, entertainment centers, the list of Amish home furnishings is endless. It's beautiful, and up to half off selected floor samples. It's Amish Days USA. That's right, Amish Days USA. No tariffs. Get ready for the holiday season with your family. The combined collection of 24 Amish builders and 20,000 square feet of design from Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Indiana. It really is something to see. Amish Days USA with savings of up to 50% on floor samples, 0% financing, and 48-hour delivery from Fashion Furniture and Lou Rodman's on El Paso across from River Park. Nothing like it in all of California. So big appreciative shout-out to Fashion Furniture, who always is here, having us here on these Thursdays for our show, which we will be going from 3 to 5 p.m. today. 3 to 5 p.m. today on the show, on the docket for you. Can't wait to bring you a good one. We have Me and Ed's Pizza. Me and Ed's always providing the pizza for our shows today. Of course, if you are feeling a little hungry and want to go shop for some furniture, well, let me tell you, today is your lucky day. Come on down to Fashion Furniture. You'll have some Me and Ed's Pizza refreshments. Listen to some sports talk here as we go through the next couple of hours. Other sponsors to get to, of course, right here at the top. It is the Lee's Air Hotline. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show. That's right, Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. The way to get in on the conversation, call in, and let your opinion be heard right here on Behind the Bench. Don't sit on the bench. Be on the bench here. Be behind the bench and be the fan that is going to be involved in today's show. So, Lee's Air also provides the weather check and taking a look at the temperatures today. 83 degrees. 83 degrees is the temperature high today. Couldn't ask for a better afternoon in terms of fantastic, maybe some Friday feelings or Saturday feelings as well in terms of the weather. So could be shaping up to be a beautiful weekend here in the Central Valley as we hit the middle of September and get you closer to those fall-like temperatures. It's what some say would call false fall right now. We're in that false fall before it heats up a little bit and then it comes back down. So that's what we got for you. Good to be here. A lot of good stuff coming up on the show today. Can't wait to dive into it. Of course, we've got a lot to talk about in terms of high school sports. We got our student athlete of the week, and that's right. It is going to be Jordan Crisp of Tulare Union. So Jordan Crisp, how about a 7-touchdown performance to talk about in terms of his performance at their game against Redwood last week. We're going to have him and head coach Darren Bennett on the show today. To discuss, preview maybe their next game, Tulare Union, what they've got going on today as well. Also, we have a very special segment of interviews coming up in the second hour. At around 4:15, we're going to have my interviews with the Fresno Police Department and the Fresno Fire Department talking about September 11th. Obviously, it's an important day for all people who are in this country and who remember that day. And so I want to give another opportunity for you to hear those discussions we had yesterday at our show, which we were live for the PD versus Fire Department baseball game. I do have an update on what went down and who won those baseball games last night, or specifically one baseball game last night. I'll get to that momentarily, but that is what we got on the docket for you today in terms of the show. Going up to 5 o'clock tonight, 5 o'clock, and we'll send it out to Green Bay as the Packers will take on the Commanders for Thursday night football, first night of Amazon Prime's broadcast of Thursday Night Football. Of course, you can listen to the Westwood One version of radio on there as well. So that's what we got for you. 2 hours of show, diving into all kinds of topics on this Thursday afternoon, diving into a lot of different things as well, getting you set up. We're almost there to the weekend. We'll talk a little, we'll maybe save some of the Fresno State stuff for tomorrow, save obviously the Benatti Blitz for tomorrow, and do a lot of the prediction stuff like we'd like to do on the weekend as well. So, good show, like I said, and good to be here alongside Jorge. Jorge is my producer in the studio today. Jorge, how are we doing on this Thursday? How are you feeling?
Feeling good. It's you know, a memorable day today. One to remember, and I think it's a nice day out today. So yeah.
Yeah, you touched on it. Maybe we want to touch on it right here at the top real quick, and then let's get into our show proper. But what do you I have my memories of September 11th, of course. I was in the, this is making me feel I'm sure a lot of people are listening. Maybe makes me a little younger than people think, but I was in grade school at the time when the attacks hit 24 years ago. And it was quite an eye-opening experience, but one that I'm sure I didn't quite totally understand as a young child at the time. So different lenses of the event happening between me and my adult life is certainly something that I've been, you know, continually figuring out and understanding as we now 24 years ago, which is just hard to believe, 24 years ago that September 11th happened. Jorge, how do you reflect? What do you remember about that day for you, and how do you reflect on it?
Oh, well, you know, I was a kid. I was a teenager, sophomore in high school. I remember very well. We're traveling to school while listening to the radio, and it was just one of those days where the news was everywhere. You know, the TV was on in every classroom we had, and we watched everything that was happening live. Pretty much. And, you know, afterwards, you know, this thing kind of shaped everybody's life differently. And we became, you know, a different country afterwards because of so many things that happened. And it just, you know, it's a time for remembering that, you know, we're one country and, mm-hmm. and, you know, we're in this together no matter what.
Yeah, a great poignant point made there. And, of course, you know, as time moves by, people experience a tragedy differently, and people, you know, use the event for celebration in some facts, you know, in terms of the idea of coming together now and the idea that people can come together in that aspect. And I think one of the more evident side of it is yesterday's baseball game between the police and the fire department. I do have the final score. I don't know if I told, maybe I alluded to it in the office, but for the people who are listening who maybe are wondering who did win between the fire and the police department. Well, I do have that final score.
It was
not a tie again. I think they would have played it out until anybody dropped. But I do have a final. Wild game, by the way. I go to imagine the fielding wasn't quite there in terms of it. But 14-10, the police department comes out on top over the fire department last night. We had two home runs by Michael Pierce, who we interviewed before the game. We also had a home run by Garrett Weber, both obviously maybe some former pro players who know what they were doing there, so not too bad. But the fire department had the bases loaded with two outs in the ninth and struck out at the last end of the game, and that is how it ended. So some drama late in terms of those two teams, in terms of everything. And congrats to the police department who do get the win last night. And I think they were the betting favorites, but that sounded like a pretty fun game. Sounded like a pretty awesome game for those two departments last night.
Yeah, I think for both of them, it's, you know, just the time to get together, de-stress, and, you know, just have some fun. Good times.
Exactly. Exactly. So a great time for that as well. And can't wait to see what happens next year. Fire department, I'll say this. I think they have some juice going into this next game because, let's be fair, I don't think they had a full roster going. They talked about it. They were fighting the fires up in the foothills as far as that's concerned. So maybe if they don't have that aspect of it, they're going to be maybe at their full roster next year. Maybe they're going to be playing a closer game, maybe even win it this time. This year, so
maybe slow down on the hot dogs before the game or something.
Hey, those firefighter hot dogs, man. Joe knows. Joe's here. Yeah, Joe knows. Those are delicious. The firefighter hot dogs, in terms of it as well. So love it. Love it as that aspect. All right. Real quick, just wanted to go over some of the score or the high school games tonight. Playing tonight. We have four on the docket in terms of the central section. This is what we got for you. Washington Union off to a good start to their year, 2-0. They play Justin Garza 3-0 tonight. That's at 7 p.m. In terms of it. So we are looking forward to that one. That one would be a phenomenal game in terms of it. 2-0 Washington Union taking on Garza. We had Gabe Camarillo talking about Garza as a stock-up team. So we could be seeing them potentially making a run at it. And I think we have Garza on our schedule in a few weeks, so we'll see what that looks like. Kalinga's at Sierra Pacific. Both teams 2-1 tonight. That'll be played at Hanford in Sierra Pacific, so we'll see what that one looks like. Good start so far for both teams at the 2-1 level. You got Menachie taking on West. Menachie 2-1 as well, going up against West High. That's at 7:30 tonight. And then also a really big one, Liberty of Bakersfield, 0-3 right now. 0-3, taking on Buchanan, who's 2-1. That's at Veterans Memorial Stadium tonight. Buchanan Bears hosting Liberty. If Buchanan beats Liberty, Liberty's in some real trouble here, I would say, in terms of what their outlook of their season is, if they're going to fall to 0-4 and what they have facing them moving forward. So a massive game in terms of implications. If Buchanan grabs this one, then maybe we have a conversation about where Buchanan can stand in terms of how they're playing football as well. So looking forward to those four games tonight. That's what's on the docket, and can't wait to talk about them tomorrow. I think we'll have Paul Metters talking about it tomorrow. I might go to Buchanan tomorrow as well. So that's what we got for you. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, our interview, our Student Athlete of the Week interview is going to be coming up next. We're going to have Darren Bennett up. We're going to have Jordan Crisp up here on the podium here with us, talking some Tulare Union Tribe football next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Continuing our show here, and we've got yet another fantastic interview I'm looking forward to. Here in person, driving up from Tulare, we have Jordan Crisp and head coach Darren Bennett from the Tulare Union football program. Guys, good to have you. Glad to have you. How are we doing on this Thursday afternoon?
Doing great. You know, bye week, so just chilling a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Coach Bennett, nice to have a bye week.
Absolutely. Just got back from Disneyland. Took my granddaughter to Disneyland, so worked out perfect.
There you go. So we're here, and you guys made the trek up to talk about the season so far for you guys. And, of course, the reason we have you here, Jordan, you have been selected, obviously, as the Student Athlete of the Week for ESPN Fresno. How about 7 total touchdowns in your performance up against Redwood? And you needed every single one of them, it looked like, with how much of a battle it was versus Redwood. But congratulations. How does it feel to be a Student Athlete of the Week?
It feels great. You know, it's an honor to, you know, I see a lot of people on here, and just to be up here myself feels great.
Coach, I know I sent the messages, and I'm glad we got connected to make sure we had this happen. And how does it feel for you as a coach to know that performance validated through a Student Athlete of the Week award for him?
Well, he's very well deserving. In fact, we were talking on the way up here. Our number one receiver dropped his best pass of the night was a post to Demaj Riley, and it was right in his hands. And he, for whatever reason, we got new lights. We got those digital or those LED lights.
Oh.
And he said the ball looked like it turned black. Anyway, he dropped what would have been a 60-yard touchdown pass. So I got, my gosh, he had thrown for well over 500.
Wow.
And not only did he make your Student of the Week, he was Cal High Northern California Player of the Week. And he broke a record at Tulare Union, most yards in a game. And we've had a lot of pretty good quarterbacks, so that was pretty impressive.
481 I got on the tally here for what I'm looking at. And, of course, let's add the 11 to the ground as well. We'll give you that credit for it. So 492 total for you at the quarterback spot. Jordan, what, you know, when you're in a game like that, and obviously it was a shootout, so you needed all those opportunities for those to work out with your teammates. You know, when you're in those games, what is it like? And tell me about the flow of that for you as a quarterback.
Yep, just making sure my team's level-headed. You know, there was times in that game when we were up and we were down, so making sure I'm being that leader on the team, it's great. You know, adversity, me and Coach talk about that a lot, so handling that, it's perfect.
Coach Bennett, for you, you know, when you watch him play, and there's some nights where, you know, you hit St. Joseph game, and we'll talk about that a little, where it's a grind-it-out kind of thing, but then it's a game like this against Redwood where it's back and forth, and maybe last team possession wins it kind of style. But when he answers the call like that every time you need him to, what is that like for you as a coach on the sideline?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's like having a, you know, we brought Jordan up halfway, maybe two-thirds of the way through his freshman year. So he's been playing varsity football for a long time, and it's like having another coach. And he's the best he's ever done as far as staying level-headed. You know, when things didn't go exactly the way we wanted them to go, he was fine. You're all right. I'm good, coach. We're good. And it really paid off. He stayed objective and made all the right calls and did a great job. It's best performance, not just because of the numbers, but what he did. He didn't make any mistakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, that doesn't happen that often. And especially against the Redwoods, a really good football team. I know their record's 1-2, but they've lost against a couple of really good teams, and so it was a great performance by him, and that's two of our three wins have been against two really good football teams. St. Joseph's another really good team.
Yeah, I was going to get into that, and maybe I'll touch on it a little bit later, but I do want to mention, and by the way, I think he could almost your teammate Braden Stevenson could almost be considered almost a co-MVP of that game for you guys. 291. 3 touchdowns as well. You guys are finding the connection. I know you got, obviously, Demaj Riley as well, but when you are clicking with a guy like Stevenson in a game like that, is it an unspoken thing? You just know when the game's called?
Yeah, definitely. Our chemistry is great. You know, we've been playing with each other since middle school, so me knowing how fast he is, how explosive he is, seeing somebody else line up against him, I know my odds against, and I take Braden a lot of times.
Coach, you don't have to really foster these relationships between the receivers and quarterback, right? These guys have had it for many years.
Yeah, they've played together for, like Jordan said, you guys mentioned, many, many, many years. In fact, Bray broke a record as well, a single game record for yards. And he had, I had forgotten about this, we had a touchdown called back to Bray that was, 50-plus yards?
Yeah.
That we had a lead, it was an RPO, so there was an elite. It wasn't a bad call. We had a lineman down the field, or he would have had close to 400 yards, which is, it's amazing. But he's a great athlete. He's worked really hard. Both these young men, in fact, all of our kids have worked really hard in the weight room, and you can really see it paying off now.
And I'm always curious, you know, when teams have – obviously you guys have found the winning bug with the 3-0 start, beating St. Joseph on the road, and there's a sense around this group that this is a team that has a lot going for it right now in terms of playoff potential. Coach, has it been building to this, or is this some year where you feel like there's a lot of potential with this group in terms of what it can do in the Central section?
Oh, no, we knew kind of last year. Not to be negative, but I just look at like us and Hanford High School, which last year both of us had really, really good seasons, and we kind of got the short end of the stick CIF last year. And we're both about 1,500 and change students in public schools, and you know, going against schools that are 3,000, 3,100. So fine, you know, they realized that's not the way it should work. So I think either one of us could have had a chance to be, or should have been, in one of those, either Division II or 1A or however you want to call it, championship last year. So this year, that's not going to happen. We're not going to be up there with Central or, you know, and they well-deserving. You know, they have one heck of a program. But it'd be nice to play against schools where we're more, you know, competitively.
And the chance to play a home playoff game, right, instead of being so successful, you have to go on the road and take on a Clovis East team like you guys did last year. But that benefit, right, and we'll speak to it, you know, that freedom to just let it all go and let it all out and have that, let you guys ball out as much as you can to get as good of a spot. And that home playoff game, the value of that, right, Jordan, what is that value to you as a player? Because you – obviously, you're a senior, right?
Yeah.
You want that in your senior year, right?
Yeah. My sophomore year, actually, we had a lot of home games. I think all of our games were home except for when we played CBC. So it's just, you know, having our fans there and knowing that everybody can come and watch, it's great. It feels good. And, you know, everybody loves a home court advantage, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What is that home field like at Tulare Union?
Yeah, it's great. Everybody loves the fans, you know. Everybody on the sideline, you know, the student section hyping us up after we score. And, you know, everybody knows our name out there. So,
Coach, for you, you just go week by week on it. But is that a carrot for this team, that home playoff game, that kind of matchup that matters for you guys? Doesn't matter who's coming in, but just to have that experience, because not many people can say they have that experience in terms of playing football in high school.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, our first home game of the year was this last Friday. And not only did we have a packed house, but we had our 99 and 2000 teams. It was the 25th anniversary, so they got a chance. In fact, I was watching the film, and you could see these guys on the sideline jumping up and down and rooting for Jordan and his teammates. And, that had to be – I mean, that could pump me up.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm an old guy, so I can imagine what it did for these guys. And it was really, really nice to see all the home fans, and the fact that our turf is getting replaced at the end of this year. It's not the best in the world, so we get to play on it, and so we have a little bit of advantage. Realizing that you really got to be an athlete. If not, you're gonna. It's like being on ice.
Jordan, do you know the ins and out of that turf? Like, you know where the spots are. You know where they ain't.
Yeah, for sure. We got to break down that turf a lot. You know, it's kind of. It's all right, but, you know, we definitely use that to an advantage.
Let's talk about some of the games you guys have had so far this year. And I want to start at the top because I've been paying attention to the St. Joe's, who bounced back after you guys played them. They've had some really good performances. Yep. They just handled Hanford pretty handily in this game. So I don't know how much you evaluate what you've done versus what you have moving forward, but a 27-24 win at St. Joe's. Take me through that and maybe the perspective you guys have of, okay, if we do that against a team like that, you know, then who knows where sky the limit is. But what was that game like at St. Joe's, and how are you guys able to get it done?
That game was crazy. You know, we had a long ride up there, and I think, you know, not to make an excuse, but it had a lot to do with how we played. But, you know, we fought hard through that game. You know, St. Joe's is a great team. They're very disciplined. So, you know, we had to fight. We had to fight. That was a great game.
Coach, what about for you? You knew what St. Joe's probably was presenting this year. And for your team to be able to pull off a win on the road like that, which I think can go a long ways to what you want to do moving forward, what does that
show you, and how big was that win for you guys?
Well, it was wonderful because, you know, we were down. That game went back and forth, they're very well coached and they're very athletic, and they have some guys that are going to be playing on Saturdays, and who knows, maybe one or two that might be playing on Sundays. So it was really got to see how we were going to react to some adversity,
yeah,
more than anything else, because I knew what we were going to. It was going to be a pretty good game either way, and that I'm glad we won. But you know, they're going to win a lot of games. In fact, we're going back, and I told a couple of our coaches, like, I don't think they're going to lose any more games this year, mm-hmm, until they get into the playoffs. Yeah. They're that good.
You so. Potentially maybe even see him potentially.
Yeah, in fact, there's a really good chance of that.
Yeah, so that'll be fascinating to watch. Jordan, I saw the stats, and I don't know if I heard this right or if I'm making a mistake here, but it was the first game you haven't thrown a touchdown pass in your career.
Yeah.
Was that St. Joe's?
Yeah.
Not to point out the bat, but for you to grind a game like that where, yeah, maybe you could have felt like, okay, I'm going to try to make a play, but then you didn't have to, and, yep, you still found a way to win. What does that prove to you and your patience as a quarterback, and maybe you've grown? Is sophomore Jordan Crisp trying to make plays happen as opposed to the senior Jordan Crisp?
Yeah, definitely. Knowing that was the only game I'd never thrown a touchdown before, it was definitely in my head, like, I got to throw a touchdown somewhere here, but just doing whatever I could do for the team and, you know, not being selfish at all. Just doing what I could do for the team and however way we could win. That was really my result.
And maybe I'll pose the question to you, Coach. Is sophomore Jordan Crisp maybe pushing a little bit in that game as opposed to taking what's given to him like he is now a senior in that game against St. Joe's?
Yeah, he didn't. I don't know if he did. How many rushing touchdowns do you have? Five?
Four.
Four. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, it's not like he didn't get in the end zone. He got four rushing. Two or three times he threw a pass, and I was really, to show you how athletic St. Joe is,
yeah,
we had a couple of our really athletic receivers tackled, yeah, on like the 1 or 2 yard line. I'm like, that's a touchdown. And all of a sudden, they got a young man who making a tackle on, you know, on the goal line. So he took what they gave him. We got to the 1 yard line. I don't want to turn around and hand the ball off and take a chance of it fumbling. So just let him take it in. So
yeah,
he just got to stockpile his rushing touchdowns.
Jordan, you like the rushing touchdowns more or the passing touchdowns more?
I don't know. They're both really exciting.
Yeah.
But I think I like to see my guys eat more than I do.
Okay.
So I think I like passing more.
All right. Jordan, you know, talking about this team and the camaraderie of it, you know, what are the practices like for you as a player on this team when things are going this way? Obviously, you're on the bye, and so you're probably eager to just get back to work and get ready for, yep, Ridgeview. But what is it like? Take me through the atmosphere of a Tulare Union practice.
It's definitely competitive. You know, when we go offense versus defense, it's competitive. We got guys, you know, going against each other, but that's great because iron sharpens iron, right? And, you know, there's sometimes we have little goofy moments, but we know when it's time to lock in that it's time to go. So this week has been a little lenient, but we're still locked in.
Yeah,
with it.
Coach, you know, you don't have to tell the guys what they need to bring in terms of practice, or maybe you do sometimes. I don't know, but tell me about the way the focus is at practice for this group. What is it like in your mind? Do you feel like you have to just, you don't have to do much for this group that's working hard, or what is it like for you as a coach on the field there?
Well, you know, it's football still, it's a game at any level. I mean, you watch the pros play, and you know they find time when, you know, when they have fun, and I like, to me it's like one of these things that these young men are gonna remember this the rest of their life. You know, they're not gonna remember English class or chemistry class, but they're gonna remember this.
Yeah.
So I like them to, you know, would like to have a good time, but I really don't have to get them to lock in because, you know, they'll ask a lot of times, where do we rank, you know, in some of your great teams that have been at Tulare Union? And I said, well, you know, the biggest thing is we haven't won a section title yet this group. So I said, you need to take care of that first. So
yeah,
they have that on their minds all the time, that everything they do, they want to keep getting better and better so that they get the opportunity to play for a section title this year.
And the season's segmented, right? Now you move into this next section. You got a couple more games not in the league play. Ridgeview, then Bakersfield Christian. This portion of the schedule, what is this going to teach you about this group, Coach, in terms of the way they respond the next couple weeks after this time off?
Well, not to take anything away from Ridgeview, but we have we kind of knew going in that our three biggest and best non-league games were going to be St. Joe's, Redwood, and Bakersfield Christian. I think Bakersfield Christian are Division II champs from last year. Yeah, so we know that going against them too, we're going to have it's going to be another competitive game against a team that's well coached. A lot of the kids that are at the private schools are really football savvy, and you can really see that when you watch them on film and when you play against them. So you know, you really have to prepare really, really well. So looking forward to the competitive nature of that game in another week. So again, not taking anything against Ridgeview, they have some athletes too. So this is going to really get us going in the league.
Yeah, Bakersfield Christian just beating CVC last week, 42-3 at CVC. So that's what they're also on the bye.
They're undefeated.
They're 3-0 now. Yeah, they beat Tehachapi.
They beat up on them too. I think.
Yeah, so they're firing on all cylinders. They got Stockdale next week when they go at it. And then you guys get into elite play, and you got Lemoore and Hanford, and Mission Oaks off to a good start too. You know, Dynuma just got a nice win over Kingsburg. I know that. And Tulare Western's got a winning record right now.
So they're undefeated as well.
Yeah, exactly. So
they play Redwood tomorrow.
So when I assess that with league play and I go down the list there, you know, how strong is the league this year from your perspective so far, Coach?
It's just like the last, ever since we've got bumped into that league, very strong, very competitive. It's pretty much week, you know, week after week after week, and you named a couple schools that have been down the last couple of years. Marty Martin over at Mission Oak has done a really good job. He took the play calling back over, and they're very competitive. Dinuba's is good again. Hanford, which has had our number the last couple of years, so we're really I know all the guys are really looking forward to that game. In fact, I went and watched them play on a Thursday against Sanger, and then what happened last week to St. Joe's.
It's yeah.
Like, oof. So, but they're very competitive. So
I know
it's gonna be a tough league.
We have them, I think, next week at Redwood. So
Hanford
and Redwood. Yeah,
that'll be an interesting game.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued about that. Jordan, I got to ask, you know, football sense for you, obviously, was football in the blood for you throughout? How early did it catch on? And when did you know, quarterback's the way to go for me?
Yeah, I think around, I started playing around 5 or 6. I just love football, you know, it was a great game. And around, 7th grade, that's when I started to play quarterback.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was that the initial people say, all right, yeah, he's a quarterback natural. You've got a size to you, man.
Yeah.
You could be going out tackling some guys, you know. But
for sure.
What about it for you, Stuck, and why was quarterback the way for you?
I think I could sling the ball, you know. So just knowing I had Coach B too. So my freshman year, just working on my feet work, knowing I could work with him on my feet work, it just made me think I could get better at the game at quarterback.
Yeah. Coach, you know, like I said with Jordan, he looks like he could take somebody out across the field in terms of that. But quarterback wise, he says his arm strength or the way he throws it, you know, for you, when you've seen from when you got to know Jordan initially to now, why was quarterback the spot for him?
Well, I got to see him when he was on the Tar Heels. He played quarterback on the Tar Heels as an 8th grader. I saw him throw the ball, and you could tell he spins the ball. That's kind of the term that quarterback coaches use. He spins the ball really, really well. He uses his shoulders, and he uses his core, and he uses his hips, and gets a lot of velocity into the ball. What he's really improved upon the last couple of years is his feet, like he mentioned. In fact, when we broke down, we haven't together watched last week's film, but I've watched it, and it's just about it's as good as he's played. Not because of the stats, just because of what he did. He didn't make any bad. He threw one bad pass. And as soon as he came, he knew. He goes, I was off balance. And I didn't have to say anything. He goes, I was off balance. The ball sailed. In fact, it was to Demaj Riley on an out route. And Demaj goes, I couldn't believe it. I can't think of the last time I saw the ball miss that much. And other than that, his feet were great every time. And one of the things you mentioned, Jordan could play another position. He could. He's also probably the second strongest kid on our team. And we have some guys who really get after it in the weight room. And, you know, him being that strong, he's a – not only is he a great leader verbally, but even more so than that is just watching it.
Yeah.
The young men, in fact, since we didn't have a game this week, we really kind of tried to hit it hard Monday and Tuesday. And some of the young guys got some really promising freshmen. And Jordan was like, let's go, let's go. You know, yeah. And so I was watching, and I didn't have to say anything. Jordan was over here going, let's go, it's time, let's go, let's go. You got two more reps, yeah. Let's go. And it's really helped. And it's helped him, too,
yeah.
You know, being that strong. And he's become more athletic, and it's really helped him.
Do you have to grow into that role a little bit, the leadership side, or did that step in as soon as you took the position there?
Yeah, I definitely had to grow into it a little bit. You know, I think, you know, when I was younger, I think my attitude was a little down. But, you know, talking to Coach, being on the same page as coaches, it helped me a lot. So, yeah.
Certainly. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do this year. I've had stock up on Tulare Union this year from what I've seen, so I can't wait to see what you guys are capable of. It's a shame I don't get them this week. Get to watch you guys this week, but the wait is worth it. I wanted to say we have some prizes for you. So this is the prize portion for you here. So let me see if I can get this all organized here. So – Jordan, you doing anything on Saturday? I got a couple tickets to the Fresno State football game.
Oh, okay, yes, sir.
For you this Saturday. You can see the Bulldogs.
Southern University
out of the SWAC. So the Jaguars should be an interesting team to watch in terms of that. I got you a T-shirt like I promised.
Yes, sir.
So there you go.
Thank you.
That one's for you to take home. Yes, wear it in the warm-ups, whatever you want to do with that.
Sure.
We got KFC.
Yes, sir.
Sandwich for you there.
Thank you.
Courtesy of our friends over at KFC.
Yes,
and I'm assuming maybe if you're in town, you want some Toledo's Mexican food there. You get
Thank
a little family four-pack up there as well.
There
so get
go.
Some nice Mexican food here in town. Get this nice little drawstring
Thank
bag.
You.
Joe over here has brought also a cooler. This is a new prize we're giving away. And I don't know if we can – Joe, I just want to see if we can open it, and maybe we can take a stand and look what we got here in the Igloo cooler. This is from Raw Farms here in Fresno, Kerman area. And if you want to pull out what we got some milk here for you to take with you. Oh, Joe's getting it there. There you go. So we got you some milk, raw milk from Raw Farms here in Fresno for you to take home. For you, including some ice there. And, Coach.
You know what? Kind of push us a little bit. Saputo Dairy and Tulare has donated like 3,000 pounds of whey protein to our football program.
Wow.
So every single the guys have a Tupperware thing and a shaker. So every time we get done in the weight room, they scoop the whey protein in.
Yep.
And – they just have to put either water or milk in it.
Well, there you go.
There we go.
Hey, Coach, guess what? We got a little flyer on the top of the thing here. We got top of the cooler here. If you contact that number there, that person there, they'll have milk delivered to a practice if you
sweet.
Coordinate that. So they'll deliver.
That'll be wonderful. That'll just work perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. Just like what you're saying there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome.
You just give them a call, and they'll schedule a date, and you can have some milk delivered.
Okay.
And practice from Raw Farms. But here's the big one. This is what we got for you. And it's a big, giant check you've probably seen on our socials.
Yeah, sure.
And there you go. That's your name on there. Tulare Union.
Yes,
coach's name on there.
Thank
and that's
you.
For you. And I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you have any idea where you're going to be putting that?
I don't know.
Is it in the room or maybe
probably my room.
Yeah. You got a spot for it, I'm sure.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Looking forward to it.
That's fantastic.
Sir.
So, yeah, hopefully that can all fit in the car on the way home.
Oh, yeah, we'll make it.
So, Jordan, I want to congratulate you again being Student Athlete of the Week for ESPN Fresno this week. Keep balling out.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see what you guys do this season.
Yes,
Coach
sir.
Bennett, appreciate you guys making the time heading
pleasure.
Up here.
And
good luck this
us.
Year for the Tribe.
Thank
we'll be watching.
Thank you.
All right, guys, have a good one. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you for having us.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. I'll go live in that time. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thank you to Jordan Crisp and Darren Bennett for joining us in the last segment. Student Athlete of the Week for this week out of Tulare Union. Reminder, if you want to be a Student Athlete of the Week, of course, we're making our selections, going through all of the fantastic performances. But if you have a performance that you think deserves to be nominated, be sure to go to our website, 1430ESPNFresno.com, the way to reach us, and nominate your Student Athlete of the Week today for this wonderful honor. And I'll tell you right now, the prize packs keep getting bigger each week. So if you or a student athlete in your life feels like you they deserve to be honored in that way, and we will gladly be able to have them on the show and talk about their wonderful season. So appreciate it, guys. Thank you again for coming on the show, and good luck this season. So that's what we got for you there. Of course, we still got another hour to get to. I did want to touch on one quick news item that happened over the last 24 hours. I'm a little late into the acknowledgement of it, but I want to make sure I just touch base real quick. I would say closing the book on this story, and that is Fresno State men's basketball, basketball players ending up banned from the NCAA. That officially came down from the NCAA yesterday afternoon in terms of Michael Robinson, Steven Vasquez, Jalen Weaver, who played at Fresno State and San Jose State, reportedly participated in a sports betting gambling game manipulation scheme, and are now put on the permanently ineligible list. No punishments to be levied to San Jose State or Fresno State, according to the NCAA. Two of the players, of course, alleged to manipulate their performance to ensure their bets won. That was Weaver, and that was Robinson. And now the team has moved on from it. But I think this is a good punishment for these players. I think that's the apt punishment. You just cannot fool around with it, whether it was for your overs or whether it was for your unders. Regardless, do not touch it. You cannot touch it. And these guys committed the cardinal sin of high school athletics, or generally any athletics, high school, college, pro, any of it. If you're involved in any of that game fixing kind of things, that's the punishment that should be levied. Jorge, fair punishment, permanently ineligible from the NCAA for these guys who have been a part of this gambling scheme. Where do you sit on this? Book closed in terms of it?
I mean, I thought the book was closed last year when they you know, they separated from the team and basically kicked them out of the school. But I don't know. It feels like, I mean, the schools didn't have anything to do with it. They kind of just messed their future up in playing basketball, at least in college. I don't know. It feels like it's over, it's done, that's it, and we can move on, I guess.
Yeah, I just wanted to acknowledge that, because that was the official stance from the NCAA, is to ban these kids from playing ever again. So, in any athletics. So I just wanted to acknowledge it, make sure it was stated on air. I'm sure Tony maybe has mentioned it once on his show in the last.
I believe he mentioned it yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, we had the game yesterday, so.
he talked about it today with Jackson Moore.
I hope there's closure now. I think I don't think there's any gray area ambiguity to the situation. I do believe that that's the right step, and it's good. Fresno State not going to be punished for this, although I would say be warned if this probably happens again. That's a massive if. The if is doing all of the work. I'd imagine something else could happen.
Was it only that they found evidence on one of them that actually bet on himself, but not on the rest? The rest were just...
They found they were all conspiratorially a part of the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were all involved. They were all fixing.
All three of them were fixing.
And it was independently through their own.
Yeah.
As far as that's concerned. Yeah. So that is that. By the way, Jorge, in lighter news, I know tonight, Saturday is Heroes Night for Fresno State. I got a message from my friends. An update, by the way, to the... NCAA football game. Guess what's coming to the NCAA football game for uniform changes from Fresno State?
Is it a black one?
We get the white USA helmet that they're going to be wearing this Saturday. That the red, white, and blue Bulldog script lettering. And also we're getting the Fresno State camouflage helmet that's coming as well. I'm trying to recall what the camouflage helmet is.
I don't think they used it yet.
Yeah. But apparently, conspiracy theory. Do we have a camouflage helmet that's coming and then we're not going to use it later?
We might have. I don't remember ever seeing one. I don't remember.
I'm looking it up right now. Is it the Native American? No?
No, I doubt that.
No, I don't see it. Yeah, I see nothing on it, but yet it's coming to NCAA. So maybe I need to hop on NCAA, get the update, and take a look. So maybe that's what I need to do. So, anyways, eye emoji. All right, I know we have to take a break. We're going to do it right now. Hour number two coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two of our show here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, Valley's local sports leader. Going up to 5 o'clock today before we sign off and send you to Green Bay, Wisconsin for the Packers and the Commanders tonight. Should be a fascinating game. I ranked it as my number one game of the week. So I'm into it. I'm into it tonight in terms of that. So can't wait to be seeing that one in action for you. And you can listen to it on a Westwood One presentation of the National Football League for this Thursday. Great way to start off the NFL week with that. Looking forward to this next hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I'm going to have some interviews surrounding 9/11 with some of our police and some of our fire department guys that we talked to yesterday. Some of it in context to the baseball game they played. And so I want you to get that opportunity to hear that conversation again. I think it's going to be a really important one to hear. So that's what we got coming up in about 10, 15 minutes or so. But there's been some news involving the 49ers again, and I wasn't quite sure I was going to be talking more Niners here. I'm tired of talking about the Niners, but they keep providing in terms of the news opportunity here in terms of it. So, Jorge, you could be a part of this conversation as always because you are the greatest Niner defender out here. And, yes, I know this guy isn't quite falling with 1-0 and beating the Seahawks and getting the job done. That win affords you a lot of runway in terms of what you can be moving forward. But scale of 1 to 10 with the Brock Purdy news that he could be out 2 to 5 weeks of the National Football League season here in terms of quarterback positioning. Where is your concern level at in terms of not having Brock Purdy at quarterback?
I would say it's light yellow. That would be my...
You had a slight yellow?
My meter, yeah. In my meter, I think that it's not, quite frankly, it's not like, oh my God, the season's over. Definitely not there. But it is concerning. I wish, you know, we don't have the... We're lucky to have a pretty accessible, I would say, schedule. So that our upcoming opponents aren't... You know, the best of them, but you know you still have to face them. And that's the thing. I think our backup it's good enough to go out there and do good things. I saw him on the preseason, and you know him better than me probably.
I do.
So
let me tell you,
So I know I've seen him play a couple times, and I think, you know, he's a talented guy, and I think he's got something. But we'll see. We'll see how he does with this with Kyle offense. So I don't know. I feel okay. I feel okay. I'm not too worried, but I feel okay.
Mac Jones' experience is one that you will have to really get comfortable with before you can start believing that this team is something that will march forward with successful football being played. Mac Jones is Jorge, I'm just going to frankly say, Mac Jones is a cat. He's a cat. And quite simply, the reason is you feel comfortable sometimes. You feel like, okay, things are okay. He's just sitting here in my lap. We're relaxed. We're resting. And then he'll see a laser or he'll see something out. And then he will go and he'll run and he'll do something horrible, like break the vase while trying to chase something in the house. Or he just gets the zoomies and just wants to throw a football somewhere that you do not want him to throw. And you can't explain it other than it's the nature of Mac Jones. Jorge, if you can handle that, then maybe you can handle the game coming up on Sunday and beyond. But if that's going to be the capability of it, then I don't know if people can handle it. But let's be fair. That was kind of Brock Purdy's performance on Sunday, where it was a lot of like, what? And then a lot of like, wow, that was good. So maybe it's the same in terms of Mac Jones. I just worry about his pocket awareness a little bit less than Brock Purdy's is. I think it's not as good. And I think some other things could be in danger of it. But maybe I'm overanalyzing it. Maybe Mac Jones is a reformed human. he's Sam Darnold 2.0. Because Sam Darnold sat behind in the quarterback two position for the 49ers, and things turned out fine for the 49ers and actually turned out really good for Sam Darnold. But Jorge, on that description, do you feel like that's an apt description of what could be Mac Jones' experience? And I wonder if I've changed your opinion in any way.
You know what? It's I think it changed a little bit. They think that in the preseason he showed some of that, but he also showed a little bit more poise, a little bit more calmness in the pocket. Yeah, it's preseason. You can only take so much out of it. But I feel like, I don't know, a different coach maybe is changing him a little bit. Maybe he's looking at different things differently. But, yeah, definitely there's a little bit of a change there.
Yeah, so we'll see. It doesn't help that Mac Jones doesn't have every bit of the 49ers luxury of stars that he could offer. He will be working with Kendrick Bourne. hey, Ricky Pearsall did well, and maybe Pearsall is a dude. And I'm not ready to declare him, hey, dude, just yet. He is a dude for week one, but we'll see what it comes of for the next few weeks. You do have the luxury of the schedule. So, Jorge, I feel like you still get the win this weekend against New Orleans. I think it's a given because of how bad New Orleans can be. The Cardinal game is the fulcrum game for me, Jorge. That feels like of the games next, the next four, I would say the Cardinal game has the most juice to it in terms of if the Niners win, this is going to be a great Niners season. If they lose, things are going to get tougher for them down the stretch, potentially. But because starting 0-1 in the division is simply – or starting 1-1 in the division simply isn't where you want to see it in terms of the 49ers. So do you feel – how about I rank this real quick? Where do you feel like the most important four games next are for the Niners? If you had to go at Saints, home Cardinals, home Jaguars, and then Thursday night at the Rams – where would you rank the importance?
I would say Thursday night, the Rams. I think that's the one that we're I feel like that's the toughest, one of the toughest teams we're gonna face all season. I know that the Cardinals and Tampa Bay are up there, but I feel like we could manage those teams, and even without Purdy, we could come up on top, but. Definitely facing that the run offense from the Rams, it's gonna be difficult for our defense. But I think we could still win it, but it's not gonna be easy.
I push back on the Rams simply in just one, because I think you laid out a perfectly good argument for the Rams. But my only pushback on the Rams being an important game is because at some point this team will lose, and those are one of the few games I recognize where I'm like, that's going to be tough. It's short week. It's on the road. I know a lot of Niner fans are still going to be there, but I get it. You just kind of feel like that's one you give away if you're going to give away any of the games because of just the nature of how the game comes up. And what is going to be maybe against it, where you don't have Kittle. You could possibly not have Brock Purdy. And maybe Brandon Ayuk is still out in terms of that situation. And so those extenuating circumstances, we knew going into the season potentially that that game was going to be trouble for the Niners anyway. So I feel like a win would be a major plus. And a loss doesn't really kill you because that's what we were thinking going in. To me, a loss for the Niners that would be tough to swallow would obviously be the Saints game. I think it's a must-win this week because dropping this one certainly would set up a lot of issues moving forward for the Niners in terms of, wow, where are they then if they can't get past this Saints team this week? I know it's crazy to say, but this week feels more like a must-win than I've ever seen before because this is a team you have to beat in order for you to get to the place you want to get to in terms of record and everything like that. You can't lose to the Saints. You just can't do it. And that's where I sit with it for the 49ers. I wonder if you agree with me there, Jorge.
I kind of agree with you. I feel like it's not the end of a season if we lose to the Saints, but we're definitely if we lose to the Saints, then what kind of team are we, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like the Saints – they don't have a quarterback. Their defense is it's okay at best. Special teams are not looking good. I mean, you see what happened last game with them. You're going to tell them what kind of a season they're going to have. So if we're losing to them, then what kind of a team are we? You know, you got to think about that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'd be a whole different conversation that we would have on Monday's show. And that would be a very interesting one to have if the Niners can't get past it and suddenly Mac Jones is not getting the job done. Although you would just have to simply sit in it until Brock Purdy is healthy. So that's the question. That's the question on my mind in terms of it. And that's the question that's moving forward for me in terms of it. For the 49ers. I think the Cardinal game is important because in this stretch, right, the Niners are playing – three divisional games in 5 weeks. They've beaten Seattle. Beating Arizona would be huge, obviously the Rams, and then you would sit at whatever, 1-2 or 2-1 or maybe even 3-0 in a perfect world. I think the Cardinal game is the next important one in my mind just because it's home opener. You want to take care of home field in terms of it. The Niners weren't very great at home this whole year last year. Plus the sting of last year's game in terms of it and what they can make of it feels like there's a lot on the line in terms of this Cardinals game. The Cardinals very much could be 2-0 too, if you think about it, and they could be in the plus territory of where they start in the season as well. So if you're on the same plane potentially as the Cardinals, getting this game and not being down a game and a half because you already lose to them would make a lot of sense for me as well in terms of how important it is. So that's where I sit with this game as well. I think the Jags game is a throwaway game. I don't really feel weird either way if the Niners do lose or win over Jacksonville. Just simply in the nature of it's an AFC game, it's back-to-back, and maybe you're saving yourself for the Thursday night game in terms of it. But I don't really feel like that game has as much consequence as the others. So that's why I think the Jacksonville game is the least important game of the stretch. And I'm curious. Obviously, every game is important, but you got to play the season. You can't be playing every Sunday in hopes of, you know, trying to make it happen. You just got to. You got to weather the storm. you got to win. Maybe sometimes you lose the battle to win the war, per se, if you're talking about the 49ers. So that's kind of where I sit. And the hope is just healthy Purdy, healthy everybody by the time you get to week six when you're at Tampa and you let it all loose in that football game. So I don't know. Tell me, Anything you object to there, Jorge? Or
I think that's about it. I don't think there's no dire needs of a, you know, getting, you know, all the wins before Tampa, but definitely if we come up with all those W's, I think the team would be better for it when we face.
Oh yeah, I'd be talking contender. Tampa. If you're 4-1 going into Tampa, I'm on the contender talk for the 49ers in terms of it. I'm sniffing the Super Bowl at that point. That's where I'm at. All right, let's take a break. But before we take a break, Jorge, if you want to get the music out for us, football is back, and so is your shot at big wins. With DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, your game day instincts can score you real money and fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from breakout rookies to elite QBs, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. Taking a look at tonight's action, Jaden Daniels, more on the 230.5 passing yards. I like it. I also like Josh Jacobs to get a more on the rushing touchdowns. He's at 0.5, so why don't we give him a rushing or receiving touchdown tonight? And here's the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code KFIG. Let's go KFIG. Play just $5. Get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 18+. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We are live, like I said, here from Fashion Furniture, and I'm really appreciative, of course, of the times we get to do this show. And one of those times was yesterday, of course, with the fire department, police department of Fresno, as they played their baseball game. We were there, out there in the pregame side of things, and really enjoyed our day there. Police, of course, winning 14-10 in their baseball game. But with that opportunity, we were afforded to really reflect on September 11th. Today is September 11th, 24 years ago today, those events and those tragedies out in the East Coast that we all remember waking up to. So here is a compilation. I have put together a compilation of yesterday's conversations. First, we're going to hear from the police department, and then we'll hear from the fire department guys as well. So this is a great conversation piece, and I hope people get a chance to listen to this. So here is my interviews with police and fire of Fresno on regards of 9/11 and anything else beyond. There you go. Because we got some great guests here who are with me. Mike Pierce is standing to my left. Jeff LeBlue on the other side of the table as well. Chloe's hanging around with our segment as well as we talk to the police side of this baseball game today, and excited to bring that in. Guys, how are we doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Doing well. Down to 110, so
we'll
really
take
enjoying
it.
This.
Jeff,
yeah.
How are we doing?
Yeah, weather's fantastic. We're hoping we get a lot of people out here.
The guys are taking it seriously this year. I keep bringing this up in terms of this ain't beer league, softball, baseball kind of play. It is intense. There are practices. Guys are getting ready. It means a lot to the departments.
It does, for sure. You know, I feel bad for fire. I'm not going to say they've already pulled a hammy, but they have lost some guys to the Garnet Fire, which is serious business. So, you know, we appreciate them going up there. They're getting a little taxed by losing some of those players, but they have a full roster, and we're looking forward to seeing how it goes. But yeah, there's a brotherly love, kind of like stepbrothers, right? In the drum set, that's kind of what goes on between police and fire. But at the same time, you know, it's good to show that, you know, we're completely united. And so we love those guys. They love us. And it works out well.
Mike, what is it like in the field? Do you hear it a lot from some guys sometimes? Or is the baseball game brought up a lot in the field as it builds closer and closer to this day?
Yeah, it does. When we see them in the field, it'll be, want to watch my back a little bit because make sure they don't take me out at the knee or something. but it's a good camaraderie, good back and forth with them. If I ever get hurt in the field, these are the first one of guys I want to save me, tell you the truth. I trust my life with them and they with us. So it's a good, I think Jeff put it best, stepbrothers. You know, we love each other. We bicker at each other most of the time.
Yeah.
But it's a good camaraderie all around.
Of course, on a much serious note, this event encompassing obviously a big event in our country's history. Of course, 24 days from tomorrow, September 11th, and the importance of honoring those who were affected that day. And you guys are around that day in terms of it. And Jeff, you know, the importance of having the community event surrounding what is competition, but the idea of bringing it together. Just speak to the genesis again of the idea of this for the Fresno community.
Sure, yeah. You know, I think 9/11 is something that our community, our first responder community, really pays close attention to. And it does get good media coverage, but I would like to see it be a little more recognized. And, you know, where we were really kind of adhering to patriotism and service to our community, because that's really what it exemplifies. So tomorrow is a big day. Obviously, we had a tragedy in the country today, which is oddly close to the next day. But, you know, I would love to see an evolution and a little more patriotism around 9/11 for sure.
And, Mike, I go to you next in terms of just the relationship to the day of September 11th. And if you want to share maybe what comes to mind when you think 24 years ago to that moment.
What I think of is we're all under attack. And there was no fire or police on anybody's shoulder that day. It was all trying to do one to do good, save people. And the end, like I said, this banter between us goes, but we're all here for one reason. We all put our lives on the line for one reason, this community. And though we made, you know, jack jaws back and forth, what this game commemorates is the fact of we're all here for the community.
Certainly. And that's why we're all here, and the people who are support here and people that are coming to watch a game like this is so we can allow to have that opportunity to be able to enjoy a game like this as opposed to a day like that in terms of it. But it happens, obviously, in this country. But speaking to just the element of the community basis and how Fresno community comes together for the fire and police departments, per se, how would you feel the community of Fresno, you know, has been able to wrap its arms around the fire and police departments here?
So in my 15 years here at the police department, I've been around law enforcement my entire life. My dad was 40 years in law enforcement. All I've known is fire and police. The community very, very well supports us 100%. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but anything in that we do, if someone gets down, someone's injured, something happens, for the most part, our community supports us and rallies around us, because just like everybody wants to be safe when they go about their lives and go to work and kids go to school. So for us, it's personal. And I know for the community it is. We all live here. We are the community. So for us to do that, I know the community supports us in everything we do.
And Jeff, I'll reflect the same question to you from your own experience, from what you've interacted with the community and the folks who support these two departments. You know, what is Fresno's, you know, what is the imprint Fresno gives to what you guys see in the community in terms of support for the police and,
sure,
and your side of things?
Yeah, you know, through COVID, through specifically for us, through the George Floyd era of law enforcement, there was always a real strong support for our officers. I can't speak for fire. I assume they had the same, but there was always a really strong support through those times. You walk into a restaurant or you go into a community place and people would come up to you. You know, sometimes you'd come out to your car and somebody would leave a gift card on the window. And so we know that the community supports us, and it's not always that well publicized by the media. And so it looks like we can be villainized at times, and we see it in our recruiting. There's challenges with our recruiting, but we do know that our community supports us. We know that City Hall supports us. There should be several city leaders here tonight, and so I love working here. I wouldn't have it any other way. I love the Clovis Police Department. I love that community too, but at the end of the day, I wouldn't do anything other than this.
You mentioned something in terms of, you know, the idea of the recruiting side of things, and Michael, go to this question. You know, a game like this, something that kind of humanizes you guys. You know, you don't see it in the uniform. You're wearing a baseball uniform today, and you're having fun, and you're seeing the kids that are maybe around here who are coming to watch a game like this. What do you feel like it impacts when maybe kids who are growing up see what police officers are like and understand maybe that's something they want to get into as a profession down the road and making an impression?
Yeah, certainly. I think you just said it humanizes us. It's not just the badge and gun that we wear. Many times the kids that I coach in high school, they forget that I'm a cop at times, and they see that, and then when they see me in uniform, they're like, oh, it's Coach Pierce. I didn't know you were a cop. You're just Coach Pierce to us. So it's great to see that, you know, sometimes nationally that's what people see. But for us to step out of that uniform and see that, hey, we're just normal people just like you. We're in this community. We go to dinner. We have our families. We grow up here. It's great for the community, especially for recruiting. This is a very noble profession. I love this profession. There's nothing else besides baseball I'd want to do. like I said, it's in my blood. My brother's in it. He's standing right over there. He's a lieutenant with us as well. So this is a great event just for the kids, the community, to come out and see that, we all wear uniforms, but we're part of the community.
You didn't mention it. You played baseball before, and then you got into the profession, but you mentioned it's in the family. What specifically made you go to that decision of being a police officer after your time with baseball was up?
I'm going to say my dad. Like I said, my dad was a cop for 40 years here in Fresno. It's the only thing I knew. Was him. He was the sheriff of the sheriff's department. So he was kind of my idol growing up, everything he taught me. And so that's what I saw and what I wanted to do. He wanted to help the community, and that's what I saw and what I aspired to be.
Jeff, I'll go to that question too, because I think everybody's got their own different story. What motivated you to be a part of the police department for you?
You know, I always, from an early age, wanted to be a part of kind of some kind of service to the country. You know, I really, one of my biggest regrets is not going into the military, but I ended up in law enforcement. I followed my brother into law enforcement. I've been doing it since I was 21, and so we were the only two in the family that did it, but absolutely zero regrets. You know, I've got two daughters, and neither one of them will go this route, but I'm absolutely super proud that I've done what I've done. That's why I have the position at POA that I do.
Absolutely. And pleased to be joined by the other side of the tailgate, the fire department representation now coming on the show. We have police in the first hour. We now have fire in the second hour. Keeping it equitable here. We got Brian Downs, Keegan Jones, Keela Park, who are with me here. And, guys, appreciate it. Beautiful day for some baseball, I would say, for a fantastic afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Oh, very well. Perfect day, nice weather, and glad to have everyone out here with their families and friends.
Absolutely. Guys, fantastic to be out here and see the celebration, the food, all of that as you take it in and have a day like this. This is one of the easier days on the job, I would say, in terms of it for this event. What is it like to kind of soak it in from your guys' perspective? Maybe we'll start with Brian down here at the end in terms of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is just a great family atmosphere to come together. You know, two sides of the badges. You know, we mostly only get to interact, you know, on the streets of Fresno a lot of times when things aren't necessarily the best circumstances. And so to be able to come together, laugh, enjoy, you know, fun game, get to, you know, interact with our families, play some games out here even before the game, kind of just soaking up the tailgate. Yeah. It's just amazing.
Keegan, for you, when you're looking around and everybody has the camaraderie, it's a lot better than a call, I'm sure, and these days are ones you cherish, I'm sure, for something like that.
It is, yeah. I think the tailgate's the best part. I think these two sides coming together, we joke back and forth. There's a little friendly rivalry there between cops and firefighters, but at the end of the day, we're all on the same team, and this is a perfect representation of it. And it's cool to see the families out here. It's great. We get to meet each other's families and be together, and tailgate, have some good food, and it's beautiful weather. It's a perfect day for baseball too.
I was telling you, it looked like, well, maybe dined down a little bit, but wind was blowing out the center, so straightaway center is the way to go if you're trying to. Akil, are you playing tonight? Is it?
Yep,
yeah, you look ready. So, yeah, in terms of it, what was the warm up? What's the get ready process for the game? Is it weeks in advance? Is it months in advance? What's it like for you?
Nah, you know what? Being a former baseball player, it's hard to get ready. Baseball, like I said the other day, they give you a round bat and a round ball, and they tell you to hit it square. But the preparation's not there. But this is just all for fun, you know, just to get everyone out here running around. Make sure we stay safe. We're playing with wooden bats. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, though. If with the wind going out, you know, there's a good chance one of the Badgers will hit it out.
I do want to say, you know, it is appreciative. Of course, it's important to have this game, right? And last year's game was an exciting one. But the importance of just having a game like this for the community and for the community of Fresno to come out and kind of celebrate these two departments, per se, and obviously a time of year, and we'll get into that. Where people are reminded of you know, the tragedy that happened 24 years ago. But just talk about the importance of the community being around folks like this, folks like in the fire department, in the police department. I mean, necessarily where it's not on a call or not in a dire situation, but in a situation where people are seeing you guys have fun and enjoy a day out.
Yeah, I think that's very important. You know, we're humans. However, when we got our uniforms on, you know, we take that oath to serve and protect and align with our mission. But it's important for the community to come out and see us. Hey, we do have fun. We do have some of us that are former athletes, some of us that are out here just going to try and have a good time. And even with our leadership from both departments as well as our locals, you know, they're all in on this and supportive. And we have a good relationship. Police and fire, you know, we're all part of the same first responder family. We have our own disciplines, but it's important at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, and we're just all one big family, and this is our city. We all love the city of Fresno, so I believe our mayor, city manager, and we got some other council members out in attendance and city leaders, so it's going to be a good night and allows them to see us kind of in a different form rather than performing the work we do.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get into, obviously, September 11th, and it's a heavy day for a lot of folks, especially for folks who were observing it and watching it unfold that day. And I'm sure all you had your own memories of that day, and I could go around and maybe we share just in that memory, but maybe we'll start with Brian. What do you think of when you think of that day 24 years ago and what it represents for the folks who lived through that day?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every time this comes around, it's amazing how, you know, just the realization of how fragile life is and yet how time just continues to move on. You know, to think, you know, 24 years ago, it was actually that, you know, the towers fell before I became a firefighter, before I was in the fire service. It certainly was instrumental for me as I looked at what I was going to do as a career. And do that, and so to join the family and to join that brotherhood, realizing that, hey, even though that event, you know, was, you know, happened thousands of miles away, that we are still all connected in the fire service and that brotherhood, that you know, we all carry that pain and that loss, but it's a larger representation too of just our country, of being like, hey, it doesn't matter that those guys were working from a different department or different area. You know, they were human, they were American just as we are. And so to think back on that, just the tragic events that could happen, that happened, you know, now unfortunately almost on a daily basis here, and that just the call to, hey, all come together, that you know, we can stand with one another in solidarity, you know, and whether it's mourning and laughing together, to be like, hey, this is, you know, this is a true representation of what our country is, you know, being a citizen and coming together, sharing that pain, those joys at times. But we're in this together, and we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but we know that we'll face it together.
Well said and well pointed out there. Keegan, for you, how do you recall that moment? And then, what does it represent for you, you know, now
it's hard to believe 24 yeah. years ago when you put it in perspective that way.
Yeah, 24 years ago I was a freshman in high school, so it takes me right back to my freshman year, just starting my freshman year, September of 2001, and watching it on TV unfold before I went off to school, and I go right back to that moment every single year. And I remember watching it unfold, and I remember wishing I could be there. And I've carried that with me throughout my life. That's why I chose to become a firefighter, and because on people's worst day, I want to be there. I want to be the one to do what I can to make it a little bit better for them, however I can. I want to be a part of it and offer some kind of support. I want to be in the middle of it. And so here in Fresno, I get to do that every day on duty. Like Brian said, every day is a little different. We don't know what the next day is going to hold. So every day is special. Every day is unique. And I hold on to that very tightly. And I try to appreciate every day, make sure that me and my coworkers can go home at the end of our shift to our families. And I think with all that in mind, it makes a day like today even more special, because it allows us to relax. It allows us to take a break from the stresses of the job, come together, police and fire, laugh, have fun, get the families together. It takes a little bit of that stress away for a little bit of time, and especially this time of year when we get that opportunity to slow down, reflect, remember those events 24 years ago. So.
Keola, what about for you, and what do you recall from that day and what it represents for you?
Yeah, similar to what these gentlemen said, 2001, I was in college. I was actually getting ready for a workout for baseball, and, just seeing those images on the news was surreal. And as you kind of reflect back, and a lot of us were that motivated us to become public servants or get us in the profession that we're in, both police and fire. And just, always paying homage. You always see that never forget. And these games like this, and here in the Central Valley, right in our backyard, we have the California Memorial, 9/11 Memorial between Fresno and Clovis. And, it's very important to never forget those that came before us. And one thing that, as I reflect back, is just how the country came together and united. And that's something that, we strive for and work towards every day. And just got to make sure, and that's what's cool with our line of work. We all come from different walks of life, beliefs, socioeconomic backgrounds, and so forth. But when those tones go off, whether it's police or fire, we have one mission. We put all our differences aside. And it's a beautiful thing to see us working on, whether it be whatever emergency incident. And that's kind of what those members that lost their lives on 9/11 did to try and save the members in their community. So, as we look back, that's very important. And 24 years, it seems like yesterday, but I'm very appreciative and grateful that we are truly never forgetting.
I'm curious, and as you guys represent fire department and what you do in your job, the importance of keeping that important for those who are around, who may have not experienced that day, and the importance of, as we continue to go further, how much is that important to teach the generation that may have not lived through that, but understand how important it was for those departments to come together on that day and get the job done no matter what?
Oh, it's very important. Our Fresno Fire Department, we really embrace traditions, and we hold those traditions strong. And those mentors that came before us, they showed us the way, and they made sure that we never forgot or learned from those. And we have a duty to make sure we pass those knowledges and experience to prepare the next generation of firefighters and leaders in our organization. So that's kind of how I believe many of us look at it, but I'll let Keegan and Brian share there.
Yeah, if you want to speak.
Yeah, I think it's just another reason why a day like today is so important. It's a day that we do take the time out of our schedules. We come together here, we get together, we have some fun, we play some baseball, we eat some food, but we also remember 9/11 together. And so having that tradition, tomorrow over in Clovis, the 9/11 ceremony, that's so important. And that we keep doing that, that we keep promoting that, we keep bringing people out, that we're teaching. I know Clovis Unified School District and Fresno Unified School District, they're really big on promoting that event tomorrow, so that teaching that next generation the importance of that day. all making sure that we truly never forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a father of five. I've got 9 grandkids. So I you know, every day I see the importance of passing on, you know, what I've experienced in life. There's so much that my kids and my grandkids have not and will not experience. And if I don't share that, I, you know, I'm not doing my role. They're going to have their own difficulties, their own tragedies, but I can show them what empathy looks like. I can show them what it means to walk through grief, those things from those experiences. So if I keep that all to myself, that's really selfish of me. And I've got to, you know, we've got to take these events to kind of go back and look. I remember several years ago, you know, my own kids kind of got to the age, my wife and I kind of went like, hey, you know, you realize this was never part of their life. And so we sat down and we watched through some of the documentaries, you know, some of those things. And while it was, you know, almost a little more traumatic, you know, to relive those things, it was like for my kids, it was the first time for them really to experience it and to kind of talk about it and kind of process it, that together, and recognizing, hey, if we hadn't done that, they were missing out on a big part of my yeah, life, my memories, and our generation. All
guys, right. I appreciate it as always, and best of luck for you guys in the game tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back and close out the show here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Just a few minutes left before we end the show here today. Another reminder, it's Amish Days here at Fashion Furniture. Talking about two good friends getting together, create the largest display of solid wood Amish furniture. Well, nobody has it more than Fashion Furniture and Lou Rodman. So be sure to take advantage, no tariffs. And get ready for the holiday season with Amish Days USA. That's right. Get your stuff before Thanksgiving, Christmas. I'm currently sitting in a really nice back-supported dining chair here made by Amish Furniture. Feels solid. Really nice feel to it. And trust me, these are made from real wood, so some of these are really light. They're not those, you know, big bulky dining chairs you have to move around from time to time. So I'm feeling great sitting in that. So be sure to come by Amish Days USA. Savings up to 50% on the floor samples, 0% financing, and 48-hour delivery from Fashion Furniture and Lou Rodman's on El Paso across from River Park. There's nothing like it in all of California. So rocking it here, wrapping up the show. Let's do our daily spread segment brought to you by Chancy Golden Resort and Casino. Be sure to try your luck there. And taking a look at the daily spread tonight, of course, the big game going on. It's Thursday Night Football, which is coming up right here on 1430 ESPN. Washington and Green Bay. Jorge, you got to guess at what the line would be tonight between Washington and Green Bay for Thursday Night Football. Do you got to guess?
The betting line, you mean?
Yeah, right. The betting line.
sorry. Let me see. I would say in the single digits.
That would be a given. Who's favorite, though? Come on. Put your neck up.
Washington.
You have Washington favored. Wow. Wow. It is not. It's Green Bay. Green Bay favored by Green Bay. 3. Favored by 3. What close do you game. Think about that close line?
It's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be, you know, two quarterbacks that are fighting to, you know, make their names out there and get their franchises to the next level.
I forecasted that Washington would have trouble against any certain sort of pass rush. I haven't really done the deep dive into what Micah Parsons has specifically done against Jaden Daniels last year in terms of the pass rush. So I got to wonder what that'll look like tonight. Can Washington be able to, you know, thwart the Green Bay Packers in terms of that pass rush. That'll matter. And in terms of running the football, Green Bay will like to run the football a lot more, and we're going to see if Green Bay can handle the ability to have long, sustained drives against Washington. I wasn't particularly impressed with Washington the way they do, but I want to see. I think this game's important for Washington more than it's important for Green Bay, because if Washington goes to 2-0, then we're in a different conversation of where the Commanders maybe go for the rest of the year. Jorge, would you agree with me? You feel like Washington would, if they get this, it'd be a lot bigger for them this year than as opposed to for Green Bay, who we feel like has a lot of legs moving forward.
Yeah, I feel like with Michael Parsons, the Green Bay, you know, it just felt like they went up a level, and the Washington still has a lot to work with. But if they win tonight, I feel like, you know, that cements them as a team that you need to beat in this season.
So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. I think, like I said, this is my favorite game of the week. I could really go either way in terms of it. I got Kroski Merritt going tonight, Jorge. I decided to start him over Isaiah Pacheco this week in fantasy. You think it's a good call? Good call by me?
I don't know.
Everybody's high on Bill Kroski Merritt, as they like to call him.
Yeah, but your other options is Isaiah Pacheco, right?
Yeah, but he's going up against Jalen Carter. I just don't trust that. Mm. Jalen Carter of the Eagles.
True.
So, yeah.
I guess it's a good one, yeah.
I'm riding with Bill. Anyways, Jorge, we got over on 790 tonight, the Grizzlies. Just a little quick reminder for the people. Grizzlies coming up at 6:15,
right?
Game two. Must win. Must win for the Grizzlies. They could force a game three tomorrow. So we'll have that over on 790. Thursday Night Football coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Thursday Night Football right now on 1430.